Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome you to Identity Theft of the Self. Do call in with your questions, comments, concerns at 845-277-9406. Call in to Identity Theft of the Self with John Warren and Ellen Hartwell at 845-277-9406. Let's discover together what is the self. How do we use that inner unencumbered self to create the reality we desire? Call in, share your experience, 845-277-9406. And again, we welcome you to Identity Theft of the Self. Salutations, greetings, and hello from Florida. How are you, John, in California?
I am terrific here in California. It is another beautiful sunny day. I'm good. I'm good. Glad to be on the show. I just love this show. Love doing it.
Yeah, I love doing it too, John, and I so appreciate that we are doing this together. Great minds think alike. We have had a tragedy on the globe, or at least one that we know about in Paris, France, and do not think that John or I are ignoring the fact that people have lost lives, that there's been fear and panic and suffering and grieving perpetrated against our brothers and sisters in France. We are not ignoring that. However, this is not a political show, but we can't just ignore it. So how do we weave an event like this into this show about the authentic self? You might ask me that, and I might say, well, it's a very challenging thing to be in a spiritual practice that one takes seriously. John takes this seriously. I take this seriously. So when I began to hear about that last night with more horrifying details this morning, I thought, wow, you know, from a place of authenticity, I have great empathy for those people who are suffering and are frightened. And I know from calls I've received today that people around the globe are very frightened. What is this going to lead to? Is this Armageddon? Is this World War III? Is this the end as we know it? What's going to happen? Blah, blah, blah. And you gently remind people, or I gently remind people, this: we must have great empathy, and we must remember, even in the face of what our flesh says is horrific, that there is a power greater than ourselves at work here. We may not, from a finite place, understand the infinite, but we do know that there is a higher power at work, working something out that is probably, or I will speak for myself here, is beyond my understanding. But my joy, my authentic self, must not be moved, but must be made more aware that we need peace as much as we need the oxygen we breathe. How do we, as one individual, get peace? I asked you, John, years ago on a different show, what is effective political action? And your answer was practice, 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 treatment, prayer. And it is so true, because if I am peace, and I do all that I can to incorporate peace in all of my interactions with all sentient beings, that does have an effect on the collective mind, race mind consciousness, what Jung called the collective subconscious. It does have an effect. So if I think peace, act peace, am peace, then somebody else will, and then somebody else, and that will expand exponentially. I am not saying that this is easy. There are times when it takes everything I have, and I often fail, by the way, to be a peaceful human being in my thought, in my word, and in my feelings. But it is a goal of my practice. For there to be peace, I must be peace. For there to be joy, I must be joy. Am I moved off my center? No, I'm not. I know I am in alignment with a power greater than myself. For me, that's God. And I know that that alignment is always there. I often lose my consciousness of that alignment. And so it is up to me to get back into that conscious awareness that I am at one with that which created me, Mother, Father, God, Spirit, Universe. I call it God because it's easier than spending 20 minutes saying the name of every God known out there. So for me, it's God. And I just can't go into it's Vishnu or whatever. But for me, it's God. And I have to be authentic and say, for me, it is God. And in that awareness of my alignment from God, the very power that knew my name before I was formed in the womb, that God is a God of peace, and that I must align myself with that peace as I, with great empathy, embrace my brothers and sisters. And I actually cried when I heard about this. I felt such a strong emotion towards the horror that man is perpetrating against man. Why doesn't that disturb my joy, which for me is my sense of alignment with God? Because that is an external event that is not an internal event. Okay, John, have at it. How do we maintain our authentic self, our joy, in the face of, just for this one example, what has gone on in Paris?
Well, you covered it, Ellen. As
okay,
far as
have
I
have a nice
Ellen,
day. I'll see you.
Yeah, you always do. You're opening a bit. It's like, oh, okay, we're done. Okay. I actually feel like I forget that I'm on the show for a minute, and I was like, oh, I'm just listening as an audience member, and I think, oh, yeah, okay, I'm good. I'm going to turn over to football now and relax and have my day because I'm all prayed up. But being serious, a little more serious about this, and to answer your question, I mean, I do, honestly, Ellen, I think that you covered it. I guess if I can, we all have our interpretations, and I can amplify what I think is important here. I think, how do you stay connected and at peace or in your connection when the world is rattling you and horrible things have happened? And I think, actually, you touched on it with the word empathy, is, and I work with clients and I say this all the time, no, don't ignore your feelings about this. We can use the tool of fake it till you make it, but there's another tool, which is that you just be present for what's happening right now, because one of the things that we forget is that events have beginnings, middles, and ends. Everything has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And being present for it and being present for your empathy and for your terror and your anger, and I'm speaking for myself, because yesterday I absolutely got off center. And social media can be a dangerous thing for someone who's off center. I got disconnected and got very angry and upset because I happen to have a deep affection for the city of Paris. And I've been there a couple of times, and it's just one of those places that proves human beings can do great, beautiful things. And I guess what I want to return to, and I'm sure we'll return to this all the time, is to be present for what's happening in your mind and your psyche right now, and realize that it has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and there will come a time, sometimes it will be 5 minutes into it, sometimes it will be a day into it, where you will then again take control of what's happening. You become the master again and say, okay, I allowed that stuff to happen, and all my emotional reactions to that to happen, and now I'm going to mold it, vision. If you can get there in 5 minutes, great, into a place of what I said to you years ago on that other show, and follow the thought here. I'm going to, this is all one big thing I'm pulling out here, one big string. You can get to the point where then you are the master again of your consciousness. You're not God, but you're the master of your consciousness in the present moment, and you can say, I'm going to direct my consciousness toward peace now. The only way we are going to finally change things. And trust me, yesterday my reaction was, it's time to go after them. I'm done. It's time to do some damage. And honestly, because I got very angry about it. But directing it toward whatever the highest outcome here, the outcome here must be humans and animals and sentient beings living in peace, manifesting, growing, creating. That must be the final chapter in this. The end of the book says that's where we're going, as far as I know, in my limited perspective at this point, directing our thoughts toward peace no matter what. And that means that, why has the war on drugs failed? Because we're attacking it. Because it's a war. Why will a war on cancer never work? Because it's a war. And manifest, when you think war, you manifest more war. And getting to the lily pad, which is peace, as much as possible. While along the way, though, so this is in no way punitive or disciplinarian in my own mind, this is an area where I give myself a wide berth. There are areas in my life where I give myself, I get on the narrow highway. So I've got to be strict about this for a month or a week until I get in the habit of not having this bad habit. There are other things like this where I give myself a wide and forgiving berth when I get angry or upset or get off center or get disconnected and just get connected again. And there's another show here, Ellen, at some point where we talk about why this stuff is still going on. But that's not for this show. For this show is now is how can we be present and realistic and honest and empathetic and allow that to flow through us, to be present for what's happening right now in our lives that are upsetting to us, allow it to flow through us, and at some point step into the creek and say, now the creek, the water is going to go this way. I'm starting to build that dam which makes the water go this way because that's where I want my consciousness to go, and that's what I want to manifest in my life. And in a broad sense, what happened in Paris is we need to practice when it's appropriate for us as individuals to step into the stream and go, the stream is now going toward peace. I'm done with my anger. I'm done with my frustration. I trust that the highest good will happen here, and that's what I am putting. That's what I'm adding to the human experience today. Yeah. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And John, it wasn't too long ago I was talking to a friend, and you know, and this isn't nice, but I'm going to say it to illustrate what you're saying, which I 100% agree with, which is there were some things going on in Syria that still are, but at the time, I mean, I lost my wig. I'm like, they're cockroaches. We need to step on them. And my friend
yeah.
was horrified. Like, how can you say that? You know, a godly,
yeah.
loving person like you. And I'm like, I know, but it's true. I mean, I had this rage towards the inhumanity to man, and I had to get past that or else I'm adding to it, and I knew it.
Mm-hmm.
But in that moment, I'm like, they're cockroaches. We should go step on them. Now, do I have that part of me that says, this has to stop now? Yes, and then
mm-hmm.
I come out of that, and what I enter, which is new for me, so I'm very new at getting here, but I'm working on it. It is a practice of, wait a minute, when I say that, I am playing God. And no, what I can do is be peace, think peace, and try to be peaceful. Okay, work toward that. Because when I say, well, go step on them like cockroaches. Well, yeah, that's an anger, but it's not okay because it is God's job to guide us. And she, infinite love, divine, okay, there's the list. God can guide us if we are willing to stop and listen and be guided. Because the flesh is a very powerful, powerful, powerful lead. Like my flesh says, go step on them like cockroaches. And my spirit says, wait. I don't want to listen to wait. And then once I calm myself down, I had a little wave of that over the Paris incident. But I went, wait a minute. No. What I'm going to do with this is stay in my joy, which to me is my alignment with higher power. And I'm going to listen to what I'm being told. And what I was being told was as clear as you can hear me now, which was, you must be peace. And so that answer to me is the guidance of spirit, whereas the flesh wants to get a gun, for crying out loud. I don't own a gun, but it's like, oh my God, it's crazy. Well, it is crazy from the perspective of the flesh, but from spirit, at the end of the day, it all makes sense. And we have a choice now to stay in our connection with our higher power, not fall from grace and believe in a separation from God, but believe that we are connected to God and act from a place of divine guidance. And we have a choice. We can do that, or we can, Annie, get your gun and go blow each other up. I, for one, am working towards choosing not funny, John. Don't laugh. It's choosing peas.
I'm laughing at you. I'm laughing at you, not with you. No, you said Annie, get your dog checked.
I know.
That's very funny. I know it's a serious subject, but yes.
But no, it is funny. And that's another part of that is we have to have a sense of humor. We have to be able to, in a loving way, laugh at each other and go, oh, John, really? And you have to be able to go, okay, Ellen, come on, and have a good laugh or else we're taking everything far too seriously. Again, not to dismiss what has happened here, but to embrace a larger truth, a larger perspective, which is it is as we think it is. And so to get to the topic of our show, the authentic self, how does that authentic self get stolen? Because we watch the news, we listen to it all, we're horrified, and we go, Annie, get our gun. Wait. Let's just take a minute and listen to divine guidance, because divine guidance would never say, oh, go kill him. No, divine guidance would say there is a way, and that way is peace, and the only way to get peace is to be peace. Now, I can hear people going, that is so idealistic, I can't stand it. Yes, it is. I am a card-carrying idealist, and I will go to my grave and go to my God with a card that says idealist with great pride. Because without that, it's not I don't have common sense, I do, but without that, then what is the point? I don't have joy, I don't have mirth, I don't have a sense of this is a journey and I'm on it and we're moving forward, and we're moving forward to a beautiful and wonderful conclusion, even though we can't see it in the moment. Does that make sense to you, John?
It absolutely makes sense. I have some things to add, but I know we have a break. We're on what they call on the television set a hard break coming up.
Okay.
Is that right? Or am I...
Yes. No, you are right. As a matter of fact, John, I'm 2 minutes late for the hard break. So,
well, it wasn't that hard then, was it?
It wasn't that hard, but we're pretty soft over here in some ways. But yes, to follow broadcasting protocol, you are listening to Identity Theft of the Self. We will return in just a moment after this brief commercial break. Are you feeling like you've done it all? All the affirmations, all the meditations, everything you can think of, prayers, standing on your head, spitting wooden nickels, and still there are those few things that you haven't manifested in your life. And it is frustrating. It truly is. Well, there's something going on there. There's a belief that you haven't uncovered that is halting you in some way from manifesting that which you desire. So to the rescue comes John Warren. He will help you uncover the belief systems that are keeping you back, as well as uncover those, if you don't already know, that have helped you. John is an expert at manifesting things. He can teach you how in such a quick and beautiful and gentle and enlightening way. So John Warren to the rescue. Can you hear the helicopter in the background? Yeah, that's John. He's about to drop into your life and rescue you in the sense of pointing out to you those patterns which are holding you back. And I don't know about you, but I feel we all need someone to do that for us now and then. And why not go to an expert on manifestations? That would be John Warren. Oh, how do you get him? Oh, you just go to my site. It's simple, EllenHartwell.com, and there he'll be. Set up a time, and he'll rescue you out of this hamster on a wheel feeling you've gotten. You watch and see if he doesn't. God, I love that helicopter, John.
I don't know what to do about that. I was thinking about what my segment here is, what I wanted to discuss here. Now I'm a little embarrassed. That commercial is lovely, but I'm not going to rescue anybody. But I'll get you going. I promise you that. I'll get you going.
I knew you'd have an issue with rescue. But in fact, it's such a neat image. There you are. There's this helicopter hovering over your house, and down comes John on one of those big cords. He unhooks himself and says, oh, that pattern, yeah, that buddy, that's got to go.
Oh, yeah. No. I have no qualms. I have humility about things, I hope, but there's no sense that I'm pretty good at extracting the pattern and going, oh, well, remove some of this and this will help you move forward. Let's do that. So, yeah, I got no problem with that. Anyway, what are we talking about? What's the topic of this show? Ellen, I do want to touch back before we move too much past this is again, and I think this is something that you and I can add to the conversation, that it's so much of the law of attraction and spiritual growth and expansion and stuff that's happened in at least in American society and around the world in the last 30 years. One of the things that we can add that you and I do touch on consistently, whether we intend to or not, is the process and the allowance of, because, and this is a great way to look at it, yesterday I was absolutely, Annie, get your gun, are you kidding me? If you can find me on social media, I'll, you know, you will see at least one or two remarks saying, no, we got to do something. I'm being honest with you. That's because I was in that moment and it's a little impulsive. And am I perfect? No, absolutely not. Do I think that now? I don't know. What I want finally, if I have a meditation or a prayer about things like this, is that the highest good happen. I'm not, that the highest good happens given the how much spirit has already been spent. In other words, I don't know once Hitler moved into Poland if it was too late to think peace and make it go away. It may have been at that point we had to do what we did. And I don't know where this is in that process because I'm not God, and I don't know how this is going to manifest and play out. I do know that my participation in it, I need to strive, not in it in the sense that I'm involved with people, but in it in the sense that I'm part of humanity, that my participation needs to be striving toward higher, making the vibration higher, and striving toward the outcome that I know that all humans and all sentient beings have value because we are all emergent out of the creation. And I guide my thoughts toward that. And how many times do we forgive, Master, was said to one of the people that I follow. Mm-hmm. And his answer was 7 times 70 or 7 times 700. In other words, you keep forgiving as long as you need to forgive. So I'm going to forgive myself my temper. And if I need to correct anything, like we talked about, the mind is the tiniest, you know, the grocery store, the opposite end of the scale yesterday, me popping off at the grocery store. I'm going to forgive myself and make the amends where I need to make the amends and allow that I was there and I don't know all the answers and that's where I was. And that's actually how you can really begin to master, retake back your own identity. I mean, that's what we talk about on this show. Mm-hmm. Is by going, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. I didn't suddenly become not a part of God because I lost my temper, or because I think, you know, I went Annie, get your gun, and went, okay, drop bombs on all of these. They're cockroaches, as you put it. And I may go back there again. I don't know, but what I do know is that I can allow that, and it's a flow. Allow it to flow through, and then I can get back to, okay, if you're really quiet and still and you listen to this still, small voice, John, what is it that you really want to, where do you want to go? And again, I want to hit on this, Ellen. I think it's important to me because it's identity self. We're identifying ourselves here and re-owning what we are. Is to say, a lot of this, we are expressions, individual expressions, and do not fear something that may seem self-centered as long as it's not based on fear. In other words, here's the other catch, the caveat with going, losing your temper at the grocery store or going, Annie, get your gun, kill them, they're cockroaches, is your temper in that moment, Ellen, changed nothing in Syria. This is what I do know, though. It changed something. It lowered a vibration in your life.
Correct.
And the same thing's with me. And so there was probably something, if you were paying close enough attention, that didn't work out as much. And I don't think it's a big thing in this case because you're having a conversation with a friend. But, you know, you stub your toe or some, you know, life doesn't flow as easily after I have moments like this. And I know it. I don't want the results of my negative thinking. And that may seem self-centered, but it is really true. It's really true. One of the prime motivators is, do you want the results of this anger? Because it's not going to change whether how quickly it takes us to defeat ISIS in Syria. It's not going to change one bit. But it is going to lower my vibration if I stay in the anger. Don't mean that I shouldn't get angry and have empathy and do what we can do, including praying or giving blood or whatever it is that we can do. What I do mean is there's a moment where it's like, step away from this, because now you're angry because you're getting off on being angry. Does it make sense? Because that's different than I'm angry and upset because people harmed something that I love. People scared me. People did bad things and it angers me. That's all legitimate. I'm watching CNN for hours on end because I'm getting off on being angry is a different thing. And I don't want the results of that.
I agree with you.
What do I have to say about that?
No, I agree with you 100%. I don't think that my momentary outrage caused any harm. If I stayed there, I believe it could. But no, it caused me a really stinking, rotten, nothing work day. So, okay, you know, I come up and out of the anger. I stay in a centered place. And when I'm off center, I go, I wonder what's really going on here. And I am careful what I immerse myself in, because my authentic self needs to be permeable to God, not man. And so I need to hear God. I need to be able to understand that in that place of being connected and at one with the God of my understanding, I then have a place that I can be. Do I deviate from that? Do I lose my temper? Do I get uppity? Do I do stupid, dumb, unbelievable things? Of course I do. However, I cannot beat myself up for that to say, oops, I fell from grace, which grace to me is I am consciously aware that I am at one with my Creator. Oops, I just fell from grace. Get back into that place where I know that I and the Father are one, and then keep moving. And if we know that I and the Father, God, Spirit, Universe, there's the list, are one, then I am not capable of saying anything snarky to you or picking up a gun or harming anyone else. Because in that place, God is expressing. And when God expresses, it is love, it is peace, it is joy, it is a sense of you and I are one thing, because we are. We're made out of the same stuff. So the fall from grace, which was the topic of this show, John, is not just that we, you know, back in the Garden of Eden, which to me is an analogy, but that analogy is that Adam and Eve believed themselves to be separate from God. And when we fall from grace, we are believing that we are somehow separate, disintegrated, in a dis-ease regarding God. So if we get back into that, which we can do by affirmation, and by bookmarking the places where we did feel that unity, then we can move forward a little bit better and a little bit better. Practice, practice, practice. When we're not in that state, we're capable of God knows what. I don't want to know. So back into it. Even when we fall off, we get angry at the grocery store, or we call ISIS cockroaches, or whatever we've done, we are allowed to express ourselves. We just want to gently urge ourselves and nudge ourselves back into grace with God, which to me is that joy, that authentic self resonating with a power greater than myself. I think we're saying the same thing here, John. But the authentic self must be permeable to God first, and then take a look at what's going on. So if we take this tragedy in Paris, then we say, from the eyes of the flesh, this is a terrible thing, and they dang well better pay for what they did, and we're sick and tired of these terrorist activities. Okay, true. But from a spiritual perspective, we can at least ask the question, even if we don't have the answer, and even if we don't really believe it, fake it till you own it stuff, is, I wonder if there's something going on from a much higher perspective that I cannot understand, but I can only say, out of this, there is good. And so that we're on schedule here, on that note, we are going to take a very quick break here on Identity Theft of the Self, and we will be right back to hear what John has to say about all of that. Be right back. I know that on this show, Identity Theft of the Self, we reach a lot of people, and I'm just taking this opportunity to tell you about something very exciting. My son, David, is an amazing fisherman. It's his life, it's his passion, it's his joy. And he's quite well known in our community for being knowledgeable, ethical, very responsible, and reliable. He knows his stuff. So, if you have any fishing questions, and I know some of you fish, so if you want to know what tackle to use, what bait to use, where the bite is, as they say, what fish are biting, you can get all kinds of information directly through my son by emailing me, EllenHartwell@Mac.com. That's EllenHartwell@Mac, M like Mary, A like Apple, C like Candy.com. And I will have David answer your questions for you. So ask three questions, and you'll get answered within 24 hours. Isn't that cool? My son is a gifted and talented fisherman and can tell you all about the fish in Florida and really anywhere, by the way, and all that you would possibly want to know about how to catch them. So have fishing questions? Hey, contact my son through me at Ellen Hartwell. EllenHartwell@Mac.com. Thank you so much.
Yay.
Lovely.
Lovely, lovely. My son.
Love David. Love David.
Yes.
Fishing is a great and wonderful trade, actually.
Well, it is, actually. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm very proud of him, and he's quite knowledgeable. And so, you know, yeah, do that. Email me if you have fishing questions. So back to this topic, John. None of us are perfect, and we all fall from grace every day, sometimes lots of times throughout the day. That's the bad news. The good news is we can get back into that authentic self that is unencumbered by race, mind, consciousness, unencumbered by what people think or say, unencumbered by life's little troubles or big troubles, and stay in that place and go, wait a minute, I'm going to take a deep breath and I am going to see what does my God have to say to me about this. And then we're not going to go off at somebody at the grocery store or call other humans cockroaches. Yes?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, you are the driving force for our topics here. And I just want to say that you do have this, because you're a psychic, I suppose, a sort of preternatural sort of impulse about calling this fall from grace. Because this is a great example. What we're watching is a great example of. And a fall from grace is a metaphor. It's a way of speaking about, that's not a metaphor, but it's a phrase, a way of speaking about what we're talking about. When we talk about being disconnected from the animating force of life, the thing that we are emerging in our consciousness so that we can direct and create things in our life that better us and better other people. We call that disconnected from God. We've used it a few times on the show, many times on the show so far. But really, we're never really disconnected. What we're actually doing, and this has to do with fall from grace, is actually forgetting that we're connected. That's what the fall from grace is. From a spiritual perspective and and practicing spirituality, from that perspective, it's forgetting that we are connected at all times. It's not possible to be disconnected. So we talk about our temper tantrums at the grocery store or losing it on social media because events on the television, events in the world have upset us. That's just me forgetting. That's me forgetting that I am emerging from Creator, from God. And it's always good to remind myself that it's just what I'm really doing here over and over and over again, Ellen, is remembering that, not creating it. And so that changes what I'm doing spiritually from something that is effortful and tasking to something I can release and relax into. Oh, no, you're already home. The resolution of this issue is it's already resolved. You're already there. God, help me to remember that I'm there. And that actually sort of inoculates me from these ongoing, what I would say, fall from grace. Has the world fallen and been disconnected in its belief? Does it not remember for the most part? Yeah, it seems that way. That's what it seems like. You know, you can go from losing your temper against someone who didn't deserve it, in my case, all the way to, you know, the most horrific crimes. They are absolutely forgotten. They have absolutely forgotten that which animates them. And that's, or you know, and they may not know it in the first place, but the point is, we can't actually be disconnected. We can think we're disconnected, like watching a horror movie. Your blood goes, you know, your blood pressure goes up, you get scared, but it's because you've decided to believe that what's happening in front of you is real, even though it's not. It's two-dimensional celluloid coming at you from a room, you know, from a machine behind you.
Wait, excuse me, John. Just hang on one dang minute.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever seen Walking Dead?
Yeah.
Okay. Continue.
I know you're going to go that. I was going to say that. That's it. I mean, I love the topic of false beliefs. What you're watching is actually a belief system manifesting, a mistaken belief system that you're disconnected in. That if you follow this belief system, that these guys that are doing this stuff in Paris and in other places, Lord knows, that if you follow this belief system, you will be reconnected to that which created you. And it's a mistaken belief. It's a mistaken, it's so disconnected that it results in a belief that horrific violence is acceptable and it's the route to return to God. It's a misremembering at the end of the day. Spiritually speaking, it is a misremembering. It's a misunderstanding that you're disconnected. It's not possible. It's like saying, I think I'll step outside the universe today. You can't do it. You cannot step outside everything because everything is by definition everything. Are you saying you're going to go outside the universe and see what else is going on out there?
Sure,
or the multiverse, whatever it is these days. You can't go outside all what is everything. And so you can't go outside that which created. You can't do it. You are one with it whether you're conscious of it or not. And the goal here is to become more conscious of it. I promise you, the more conscious you are of it, the more you'll be able to manifest that which you want in your life. And the more conscious, in my case, when I really started working on this, I became conscious really immediately of what I was manifesting in my life that I didn't want. And that's what's startling when you first start practicing. It's like, oh my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that.
And you're right. The more aware you get, then you we're always creating, as my mentor once said. We're always creating, so we might as well do it consciously. And so when we kind of nudge our ways back into the authentic self knows that self, that animating force, that energy within and around us is God, or whatever name you have for God, and that force is always creating with us. And so if we consciously harness the very force that created the moon, then we are in business here. We can then create with that force all that we desire. But we can't do it if we're constantly distracted and disintegrated, having fallen from grace, meaning we don't have the awareness that we're at one with God. Then we start creating mishmash and things we don't like. So if we just gently ask ourselves to be conscious, what are we thinking? What are we saying? And our feelings, no matter what they are, they're always legitimate. They're not right or wrong. But we may not want to put them into words. We may not want to give them a lot of focus if they're not positive. We may want to say, okay, I'm allowed to feel that way, and it's absolutely legitimate. But where do I want my focus to be? Where is my consciousness right now? Am I being conscious, or am I just spouting off some stuff that later I'm going to create in my life in a way that I may not find very pleasant? And so as we get more conscious, we do that less and less often. And if I do it, and you do it, and our listeners do it, and the neighbors do it, you'd be surprised how quickly that will take hold. Is it a popular opinion to go, you know what, I'm just going to stay in peace? No. People say you're an idealist, or that, you know, no, there are times when war is justified and all this. Well, yes, because that's what we've been taught to believe. But do we really believe that in our spirit? I don't think so. No, I do not. Nope.
And you know what goes back to, what you're saying, it goes back to the serenity prayer. And as I said, I don't know. This manifestation is happening in terms of terrorism. In the world that we live in, I don't know how much is spirit spent. I don't know what's going. I'm not God. I don't have that overview. What I do know is, you know, you go back to the serenity prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. I can't change what happened in Paris yesterday. accepting the courage to change the things I can, which is, it takes courage to say, I'm going to stop. Even when things make me livid, I'm not going to rip somebody a new one just because I feel like I've been treated unfairly. I'm actually going to step back. I can have the courage to sometimes to shut my mouth. Sometimes it takes courage to say, to open my mouth. I'm going to have the courage to let go of some resentments that I have that really I chew on like juicy steaks. I love them. I don't want to give up that resentment because it's occupied a lot of time. It's become my friend. But the results of that resentment are invariably discomfort and more resentment, which causes discomfort and more resentment. So the courage to change the things I can, which is what I say and do and how I am, and practice it and be forgiving along the way, and the wisdom to know the difference. One of the things that, you know, is the biggest spiritual practice for me is to know that no matter what I'm doing, you know, the wisdom to know the difference is, again, moving toward it and practicing it. I know that I can change what it is that I say and do and take hold of my thoughts when it is important to take hold of them. I know I can do that now. And I guess maybe that's saying I've attained a certain amount of wisdom. But, man, you get wound up in your emotions and you forget. But that's what you're boiling down to, Ellen. And you're right. If I did that consistently and you did it and the neighbor did it and everybody in your town did it, everybody on the Florida Peninsula did it, and everybody on the West Coast of the United States did it, everything would change. If we could do that consistently. And it wouldn't take long at all. It would take, you know, almost no time whatsoever if we could all go there, because it would be, it would be viral. I mean, it's what it would be. And so, yes, I can control the elements of myself, I guess, is what I'm hammering around here. I'm sloshing around here in this. But that is where I can say, yeah, I fall from grace, but I get back in the midst of grace. I go back into grace.
Exactly.
And again, over and over again, it's an illusion. But also, I go back to it. You know, my own thing, which is always so present in my own practice, is the word practice, is to say, and we are, there's binariness all around us, meaning we live in a culture that I'm going to watch this or I'm going to watch that. I'm going to vote for the Democrats or I'm going to vote for the Republican. I'm going to drink Pepsi or I'm going to drink Coke. There's a sort of this or that. And the truth is, reality and consciousness evolves in gray area. We go from one gray area to a slightly less gray area constantly. There isn't usually a absolute place where we go. So the flow of the experience becomes important. And then there are things, and I've said this to you, and I'll say it over again, there are things that I'm pretty good now at manifesting. And other things I've sort of, oh my goodness, I'm stuck on that one. Or not, I'm not saying, I don't even want to affirm that I'm stuck. I have some stuff that I haven't quite worked out in my consciousness that causes that manifestation to happen more slowly or more haphazardly. Is the way that the gracious way for me to put that about myself. And to know that you're there, where you're happening right now is you're there, and it's a practice. And so, lost it yesterday over these events in Paris. Even a bit this morning, if I'm totally honest, because I mistakenly went to look at the sports page and looked at the news instead. And moving forward, though, I lost it. It's like, oh, no, but you know what I'm going to do for the rest of the day? I'm going to be kind to my inner self, and that means I'm going to be kind to other people. And I'm going to spread and own the bit of peace on the bit of land that I occupy. I'm absolutely done.
No, you cannot. You just cannot, and you may not, and you're not allowed. So there you go.
Okay.
You have to behave, John. I keep telling you, behave.
Oh, but, I don't even know who Have is. How can I be?
Yes, you do. You do. You want that? That was that cute little kid in the seat, three seats behind you in third grade. Anyway.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I know.
Can behave. Yeah.
Yeah, behave. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. All right. Insane. But we are going to take a very quick commercial break here on Identity Theft of the Self, and we'll be right back with a very important key to the kingdom. What does that mean?
I love keys.
I love keys too. We will be right back.
Have you gone to EllenHartwell.com and ordered a journey reading? I do journey readings that will really enlighten you, not because I'm so gifted, but because what happens is as we look into the energy that you hold, past issues are brought up, present issues, and even some future issues that you can avoid or create all the more of by discovering your patterns, by discovering what is it that holds me back. Even some past life things can come up. For instance, I know someone who was terrified of the water. And you, most of you have heard about this kind of thing, but this is true. One of my callers was terrified of the water, and he discovered that he drowned in a past life. And once he knew that, he could put that in the past, as John Warren would say, spirit spent, and move forward understanding what that urge to run from any type of water was. So journey readings can help you in your everyday life, in your relationships, in your career. So call me today. Go to EllenHartwell.com and purchase a journey reading, and we'll talk. Thank you so much, and enjoy your journey reading. It is transformative.
Why, yes, it is. So, John, keys to the kingdom. The key to the kingdom of peaceful joy is to hear yourself. You taught me this, John. You got to hear yourself. You got to overhear yourself. Listen to what you are talking about. Listen to what you are putting out there. The spoken word has great power. So, if I'm putting a lot of BS out there or a lot of cockroaches, whatever it is, and having a hissy fit and spreading gossip or whatever it is that I'm doing, that's not my highest self. That's not in my better interest. But don't beat yourself up. Hear it and go, wow, I'm really distracting myself from something. What is that? And figure it out, or don't, but get back into grace. Get back into your personal joy, your personal grace, and say, you know what, just for this day, I am not going to talk about other people. Or just for this day, I'm not going to cuss. Or just for this day, I'm going to pay attention to what I'm talking about, because that tells me what I'm thinking about, which tells me the key to the kingdom, which is I hear myself, therefore I am constantly creating. Do I want to create anger? Do I want to create war? Do I want to create bad feelings? Or am I going to reach out to my friends? Am I going to say my prayers or my meditations or my treatments? Am I going to be kind? Am I going to speak kindness? Am I going to be kindness? Am I going to speak peace? Am I going to be peace? And if I make that up, guess what? Pretty soon, I hear myself right away when I start spewing some nonsense that doesn't do me or anyone else any good. That key to my kingdom brings me back far more quickly to my center, where I know that I am at one with my God and that I speak, and therefore it is. I am careful what I say. I don't mean I censor myself, you listening, and John certainly knows I don't, but I am aware that, wait, you know what? No, I don't want to put it that way, or I don't want to say that. Let me put it this way. Yes, I was upset. Yes, I was angry, and I'm so grateful that right now I am at peace, and I know that something is being worked out that is for everyone's much higher good, even if I can't understand that. Isn't that so, John?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely so. And I love that. I love that. I never thought of it as a key to the kingdom, but it is one of them. Absolutely, Ellen, because honestly, you want to know how powerful you are? Stop complaining about everything for a month and just sit with it. And what I mean is that I don't mean, you know, if you can't control your head, don't worry about it if you're in the practice of it, but stop verbalizing it. And you will start to accrue power. If you are, you know, a person who's sort of a kvetcher like me, or even a whiner, whatever you want to call it. And I've had periods of my life where I just honestly, I will not complain about anything until 4 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but honestly, it's a fantastic practice because
it is. It's wonderful.
Because first of all, because you'll flip off if you're like me. maybe people in the audience, excuse me, won't. But if you're like me, you'll flip off and you'll be on a work call. I'm on a call with somebody, or I have to, you know. Invariably, the things that you complain about come up almost immediately. Like, got to schedule the cable guy to come, or something like that. And we go, oh my goodness. Listen to me, I just started complaining to somebody, my neighbor, my friend, whoever. but it's a great practice. And then, but if I give myself this sort of manageable, when I started doing this, this sort of manageable time frame, it's like, oh, you know, I wind down my work day around 4:30, depending on where my clients are coming from, if we're in the same time zone. So I won't complain. I won't find myself distracted into any nonsense between, well, I'm waiting, or between clients, or between phone calls. I won't talk to anybody and complain about anything until 4:30. It's a fascinating practice because you immediately, A, find out what you complain about, because it pops up. It'll show you. The world will show you. When you've decided to be shown, the world is happy to show you. Mm-hmm. And B, you will you'll overhear yourself. The subtleties of oh, it's not working out for me. Oh, my goodness. The subtleties of my own whining become very clear. And it doesn't take long. Again, none of this stuff takes long. And then what happens is you can start to master it. And then you can start to see the results of the mastery that you're in. Even if you're just mastering one sentence of your gripes. Another great thing, and again, it becomes the key to the kingdom. And the reason it's a key, Ellen, and you nailed it with that. The reason it's a key is because it helps you to accrue the power and understand the power that you already have. And it brings it back in. You overhear yourself, so you can start to say, oh, I'm going to change that. I'm not going to say that. Another great practice, honestly, never talk about anybody who's not in the room. Now, sometimes it's not feasible because, you know, if you're talking to somebody, you're picking up, you're meeting friends. I mean, we honestly have honest conversations with people who are not present in the conversation all the time, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it's a wonderful practice if you find yourself sort of yapping about the one who bugged you last week or whatever it is. And again, this is not because we are teaching Sunday school here, Ellen, or even there's any morality to it. It's because the results of doing that are help you, help me, help us to practice manifestation more thoroughly, more completely. We can master this stuff, and it's that's the reason why it is. It's actually... Do I believe in good and bad? I absolutely do. But we're not actually talking about that. We're talking about how do we master this stuff more completely? How do we get into it more completely? And the great and very simple and very elegant practice is I will not complain about anything today. Just choose one day. I think I'll do that on Tuesday. I'm not even going to think about it on Monday or Wednesday, but Tuesday I'm going to try that and see. And it's fascinating. I mean, again, I really, one of those highly recommend do this. You want free life coaching, do that and see what happens.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I think as we listen to ourselves, we find so much out about the authentic self that is so different from the self that's been created by race, mind, consciousness, advertisements, media, our friends, family. Because when I say, I know that I'm smart enough for all normal purposes, I was not raised to believe that. But I know that that's true. And I catch myself and I go, no, I'm smart enough for all normal purposes. I'm not Einstein here, but you know what? I'm bright enough, so don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah.
I catch myself. And I've had help from friends on this. When I put myself down, like, well, I don't know if I'm smart enough for that. Don't say that, Ellen. Yes, you are. And now my friends don't have to say that to me because after a lot of practice, yes, I'm smart enough. If I want to figure it out, by gum, I will. And I'll get help if I don't understand. But it's okay to really, it's wonderful to hear yourself. In what way do you put yourself down? Oh, I never get what I want. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Stop. I get what I want. I have what I want. I may not see it in front of me in material form right this minute, but by gum, I know that I have this. And we speak it with authority because the spoken word coupled with intense emotion and practice creates. So why do we want to create, oh, you know, my neighbor, she let the dog go caca on my lawn. Oh, for crying out loud, go pick it up, put it in the garbage and have done with it. Is that really worth a whole day of complaining about the neighbor? No, go pick it up. You know, really, it's a minor thing. And if that annoys you, boy, you're in good shape because nothing much is going on in your life. And if you have to wait in the grocery line, none of us like to, but we have to say, you know what? Thank you for this this waiting in line, because I can use this to think about what I'm thinking about, and I can use this to bless my friends and my family, and I can use this to listen to my Creator. We talk all the time. How about listening? What do you have to say, God? What do you want me to know in this moment, God? What guidance do you have for me in this moment, God? And pretty soon it's your time to put your chopped broccoli on the counter.
Ellen, it's absolutely true, and what you say. And I just want to say the other thing about this practice, which is a key, I mean, which is such a great key to the kingdom, is that also we can overhear ourselves. Not only do we overhear what we actually are, the thoughts, if they come in words that we're actually thinking, and we can then look at them and go, oh, I'm going to replace I can't with I can, or you know, whatever it is, soften the blow, but also invariably with myself and with people I've worked with, but and just be clear about this and be as honest as we can be about it, because you just touched on it. What if the complaining, and I'm not saying I spent 24 hours a day complaining, but we all like, oh, the traffic's so bad, oh, it's this, it's too hot, it's too cold, it's too this, you know, whatever it is that is bugging us. I'm too fat, I'm too skinny. That's a complaint. Those are complaints. I got to understand, and I began to understand and help other people understand what they're hurt about. And when I began to understand my hurt, again, you can begin to forgive myself for redeeming time around hurt, frankly, and forgive the people who hurt me, and forgive myself for putting myself in situations that hurt me. And when you get into that for even a brief period of time, you then begin to have mastery over that. So you can say, I wasn't raised to think I was smart enough to handle these situations, but at some point along the way, Ellen, you forgave yourself because you've become successful in your own right in areas that take more than an adequate amount of intelligence. So that at some point, that hurt, you can own the hurt and look at it and keep what you want and let go of the rest, and then you have mastery over it again. What you said, because no matter what, your intense emotion combined with your thoughts, combined with what's coming out of your mouth, will create your reality. It will.
It will.
It is right now. It already has. That's a given. That is one of the rules that I have found. I don't see any way around that. If there is one, I haven't discovered it.
I don't.
If there is, I don't know yet. We'll find.
I don't
know
either.
When we die, we'll find out.
Well, maybe there is. But for what we know.
Given that, so, mm-hmm. You know, owning that stuff as it comes up, again, hearing yourself and the complaints, but also,
exactly.
Also hearing our hurt and being able to own it and be in it long enough until it becomes something we can let go on and use to empower us even more.
I agree.
Boom.
With you. Boom. And that's so true, John. And forgiving ourselves and others is just so important. And no, we don't really have the power to forgive others, but we certainly have the power to forgive ourselves. That's a whole nother show. We will be back next week, November 21st. And guess what we're going to be talking about? Uh-huh, you got it. We're going to be talking about the power of being thankful. And how does being thankful keep us in our authentic self? How does being thankful keep us from falling from grace, which, remember, is an illusion that we think we're separate from God? I do want to end this with great gratitude for you, John, and for Blog Talk, and for God. And our prayers and thoughts of peace are with all of us around the world at all times. Thank you so much, John.
Thank you, and I second everything you said, Ellen.
Okay.
Have a great week, everyone.
You all have a peaceful, wonderful weekend. Our prayers are with those who are in pain right now. Remember, what you speak is very important. Pay attention to what you say out loud, for starters. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next Saturday at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.